Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt and a Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne salamat dosto, welcome back. It is Saturday, it is time to live out your dreams, and we are back with another fabulous episode of Sapne Salamat. As you know by now, Sapne Salamat is a show for anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. We are on every Saturday at noon, and as you know, this is a non-commercial show, so no money has been paid or received. This is a singular goal of this show is to promote entrepreneurship and to help you realize your dreams. So think of this show as a helpline for startups, if you will. And we get a lot of requests for mentoring. I will highly encourage folks to call in and ask questions on the air. Obviously, we will respect your confidentiality. And feel free to call in. Phone number to the studio is going to be 408-912-KLOK. So in the past, we've talked about how to raise money. We've done the anatomy of a startup. We've talked about viral marketing. We've talked about how to create buzz for your company. We've had a bunch of celebrity guests from serial entrepreneurs to professors of entrepreneurship and folks that are running companies with tens of millions of users to folks that have raised hundreds of millions of users. And we've got another fantastic guest who's going to be joining us in the studios in a few minutes here. This is a dear friend and somebody who's actually the founder of a venture fund. So he's not just a venture capitalist, but he's actually the guy who started the venture fund himself. Sanjay Subedar is going to be coming in a few minutes. Sanjay is the founder of Storm Ventures, and he's done a couple of startups in the past. So we're going to have an in-depth conversation with Sanjay about how he's done what he's done and why he's doing what he's doing. And obviously, he's also looking for deals. So if you have good ideas, this is a good time. I will encourage you to please call in and ask questions, trying to keep your questions very, very crisp. We're going to try to get a lot of things done today. And we want to use the value of having Sanjay in the studios with us in a very big way today. So with that, we're going to dive right in. And before we do that, I actually also want to acknowledge one of our volunteers, Ashwin Patel, who's done a fantastic job of trying to put the whole show together and keep us going. But without any more, Sanjay, welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming out on a Saturday afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you. It is a real honor to have you. I know I've been hosting this show for, 3, 4, 5 months now. And one of the repeat questions we keep getting is, when are you going to have a VC? Come on, we're going to have a VC. Come on. So it's like, thank you for coming out.
Oh, good. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
No, it's a pleasure. So, all right, in the interest of time and in the interest of content, I'm going to dive right in and start saying, what is it that we want to do today? What is it we want to accomplish? And I think what I want to accomplish is I want to showcase your story so other people can get inspired from it, get learned from it. And I also want folks to have an opportunity to ask you questions. Mm-hmm. So you're from Mumbai, as I recall.
Kanpur, actually.
You're from Kanpur, okay.
Yeah, But I did my college in Bombay. My mother's from Bombay, so every summer she would haul us back.
Yeah.
To be with, I was born in Bombay.
Okay.
But I did my schooling in Kanpur and college in Bombay.
Okay. And you were what, an engineer like the rest of us?
Unfortunately, I didn't get, that's one of my disappointments, couldn't get into IIT. So I ended up doing statistics and economics from Elphinstone College, a BSc in statistics and economics.
That's pretty prestigious, as I recall it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be, Elphinstone and Xavier's were the two best colleges in Bombay.
I don't know, I only knew about Sophia, that was the only one I heard about. So good, okay, so you did that, and now what happened? So how do you make the crossover, and how do you come into high tech, and how do you come to the US of A?
Well, actually, the first thing I did after when I was graduating is I was very idealistic, and along with a friend of mine called Darshan Shankar, we thought that the education we were receiving in college was based on the economics were based on Western books, and so we thought, just like doctors had to do 1 year internship in the villages before they could get their degree, we thought all graduates should do that. So we convinced the University of Bombay to do a 1 year pilot program. So Darshan and I set up 5 centers in villages in Maharashtra, and we recruited 25 students, and we were going to write a thesis on how we would change the way we educated our young people. And I was hoping to get a PhD in economics as a result of that. But after a year of doing that...
And where was this? In Maharashtra itself?
In Maharashtra itself. After a year of doing that, I got a little frustrated with the whole process. I realized it was not about farmers and villagers not knowing economics or pesticides or fertilizer or irrigation. It was mostly politics. The resources were all there at the block level, at the panchayat level. But somebody was controlling who got what. And so it was more of a political problem than a knowledge or information problem. And so I got a little frustrated and decided, one of my colleagues had come to the U.S. and he kept saying, come here. And I said, okay, I'll come. So that's how I ended up in the U.S. to do my MBA.
So doing your MBA. So
yeah.
Okay. So you're doing your GMATs in India and sort of the somewhat relatively trodden path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where did you go?
I went to Indiana University in Bloomington.
Yes, of course.
And it was one of the few state universities. It was in the top 20 business school. It was not the other. There were only 3 public schools in the top 20, Berkeley, UCLA, and Indiana. The rest were all private schools. At that time, this was in 1974, 75, the tuition for the private schools was $20,000, and these public schools were like less than $3,000, $2,400 per state. So it was an easy decision.
Yes, $20,000, $3,000, times change, huh?
Yeah.
And so you did that, and you got a degree, you did your MBA, and you started working for the usual high-tech suspects.
Yeah, I worked for a very small company. I wanted to go back, but I didn't have money to go back, so I said I'll do the 6-month, they did the training.
The practical training.
Practical training, OPT or whatever they call
it. Yes, that's what they call it now, I think.
And I did that for 6 months in a small company that had an office, had a factory in Santa Cruz, Bombay, in the Santa Cruz electronic processing zone. So I had some connections, and I ended up working there, and they liked what I was doing. I started as a financial analyst, and slowly, I ended up, they said, well, stay here for another 6 months. Ended up staying for 2.5 years, and ended up getting a green card out of that. You
know? Yes, I think we can all relate to that. We've sort of gone through that whole process.
Right.
And so you got your green card, and now what happens? Do you start a company? Do you go start working for somebody else?
No, the interesting thing, Rohit, was that MBA was my major in finance. I enjoyed finance a lot. My accounting courses I thought were dull and dry. And so, but my first job, MicroSemi, was a small company, 100 employees, public, traded on the pink sheets. I ended up doing a lot of accounting, hands-on, accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll taxes, sales taxes. And I say like I got a PhD in accounting by the time I got done there in 2.5 years. And it was great because that kind of built the foundation.
Yeah.
And then after I got my green card, I went back to India and I thought I would start working there because my parents wanted me to work.
How long did you go back for?
I went for 3 months.
Okay. I just checking. That's exactly what I did. I went back for 3 months. It was one of those things that, you know, let's go see what it's about. It's because you feel like you just paid your dues. You've been bonded for so long. And you say, okay, finally I can go and do what I want, where I want.
And you know how you can never go back. People say, so you can never go back to where you came from because you say the place has changed, but actually you have changed. The place hasn't. So my first experience was I land in New Delhi, and my brother has come to pick me up, and I'm standing in line like a very good citizen. And my brother says, "Oh, कहाँ क्या कर रहे हो? पीछे से आओ यहाँ पे." And then he jumps and I said, "नहीं नहीं ऐसा नहीं करेंगे." तो कहते नहीं नहीं you will never get through on that. So he kept, you know, we kept cutting corners to go on the train and get a ticket and all of that. So one of the things I realized is that I was becoming more following the rules rather than breaking them, which is what I used to do when I was growing up in India.
Yeah.
The other thing is wherever I applied, they said your knowledge and experience is not relevant here. You have not done the chartered accountancy. You have not done the cost accountancy in India. And so you'll have to start all over again in the mix. And so I felt that I had all this experience that was very valuable and I wanted to get rewarded for that. And ended up, whatever the combination was, after 3-4 months of staying there, I said, I'll just come back and try to get a job here in Silicon Valley. And I ended up getting a job at National Semiconductor.
Yeah, okay, the National. So you worked there for a while, and then as I recall, you worked for a venture fund.
Yeah, right? After National, I was working in San Diego, ended up running into an entrepreneur and helping him try to raise money. In the process, I ran into a venture fund called Girard Capital in San Diego.
Yeah.
And they liked my background, and they wanted me to come and join them. So I ended up joining Girard Capital in venture capital. I did that for 3 years, from 83 to 86, which was the toughest years because it was a little bit like 2000, 2001. The NASDAQ had melted in 82, 83, after having a great run in 80, 81. And so it was a tough time for venture capital, and we did a few deals, but not that many.
Okay. So, all right, we've got a caller on hold. I'm going to take a quick segue and go see if we can answer a question here. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit. This is Raj from Fremont. Sapne Salamat.
Welcome to the show, Raj.
Okay, thank you. The question is all about, I mean, I think many people like me have a question that where is this venture money comes to a venture fund? We understand the angel investor, that is a person who is interested to invest in a company.
Sure.
But I also heard that a lot of pension funds from people are poured into this venture fund, and that's how they get the money. So if you guys can clarify, that would be really helpful.
I think that's pretty accurate, but I'm going to let Sanjay take that one.
Okay, that's a very good question. So the money that we get is from, like you said, the sources are pension funds, foundations, endowments, high net worth individuals and fund of funds. Those are the kind of the four broad classes. Every university has an endowment, and they typically, Harvard, Stanford, have endowments that are like $30 billion. They invest a lot in venture. Pension funds invest a lot. Foundations invest a lot, and these could be mostly they are nonprofit foundations that have a corpus, and they want to collect enough money to pay the 5%, 8% that they used to fund the museum or the whatever charity that they're trying to fund. And then high net worth individuals, either directly or through fund of funds, that's the sources of capital for venture capitalists.
Okay, so the major difference is in case of mutual fund, individual people put the money and it will be invested on a stock, versus here the large chunk of money from pension fund and then high net individuals will be invested on the companies, and that's how it will be run. Is that correct?
That's correct. And mutual funds, the other difference is mutual funds, you have liquidity, mostly daily liquidity. Venture capital fund partnerships are 10-year partnerships. And what we tell our limited partners is you're not going to get money for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And so you have to commit to have your money tied up for long periods of time. And you don't have the ability to get in and out like you would in a mutual fund or in the stock market.
Okay, great. And how do you guys ensure the return back to these? Again, it depends on the rating of the venture firm who is successful in getting the large rewards. Or
yes, I mean, I think in general, all economic theory will tell you the more the risk, the higher the return that people expect. So if you expect if risk-free rate of return is U.S. Treasury. Typically, that's 3, 4, 5, 6%. Corporate bonds will give you 100, 200, 300 basis points more than that. Stocks have historically given you 8 to 10% over long periods of time. And venture typically gives somewhere between 400 to 800 basis points higher than the stock market because you have less liquidity, so you have to get a premium for the lack of liquidity and the lack of ability to get in and out.
But that's only 400 to 800 basis points above the stock market?
Historically, that is what the venture funds have as an aggregate.
Wow.
Now, they're always out. There is the top quartile funds that do much better.
Yeah.
And then the bottom quartile that lose money.
Yeah.
So just like anything else. So. Yeah. But, you have to be, you really have to be, to be a good venture capital fund, you have to be in the top quartile, ideally even in the top decile. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
Great.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, Raj.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Okay, so we are talking today with Sanjay Subedar, who is the founder of Storm Ventures. They have about over $500 million under management, and Sanjay is a venture capitalist. We are talking about how Sanjay got started in the industry. And so you were at Jurad Capital, you got out of there, and now you joined, as I recall, a young startup called Stratacom. Isn't that right?
That's right, yeah.
And that's sort of where the beginning of the beginning.
Yeah, it was in 1986, and I was... although I loved working with entrepreneurs, I missed the operating environment. So I had come across a gentleman called Steve Campbell who was looking to get funding for a startup that eventually would have been called Stratacom. And I liked what his idea was, which is to combine voice and data onto one signal path, because in those days, data was packet and voice was circuit switching. And his idea was to put it all in one fast, what he called a fast packet protocol. And so I ended up joining him as the founding CFO there.
Lovely. And how did that play out?
So it was 86. We raised $15 million in venture capital in a couple of rounds. Then we raised $20 million in corporate venture from Motorola and Digital Equipment. In 1992, we went public. The day we went public, in July 1992, the market cap of the company was $100 million. We had raised $35 million in capital, like I said, $20 million from corporate ventures and $15 from VC. The year later was 300, it was 600, and then in 1996 we sold the company to Cisco for $4.7 billion.
So in 92 the market cap was 100 million.
Yeah.
In 96, 4 years later, it was 4.7 billion.
Right.
That's a growth of 47 times over 4 years.
Yeah.
What a fantastic story.
It was very rewarding. It took 10 years because the first, from 86 to 92, was a lot of struggle, a lot of frustration on the part of people, employees, VCs, and so forth.
Yeah.
But over time, if you persist and you're passionate and you're committed, and sometimes
No, but that's fantastic, and especially for a publicly traded company to go 47 times over a 4 year period.
Yeah.
So $4.7 billion, and I think I read somewhere that was 10% of Cisco's market cap, right?
That's correct, Rohit. That was the highest that Cisco has paid in terms of market cap. Cisco paid 10% to buy Stratacom. It has never paid that much in market capitalization. It has paid more in absolute dollars, but never in market capitalization.
Wow. So 10% of Cisco's market cap was made up of this company called Stratacom that you took public.
Yeah.
That must be a nice feeling.
Yeah, it was good. It was a great feeling. It was very rewarding.
Rewarding? Okay, tell me, how much did you own?
Well, it was the rewarding part is that we made product that people liked.
Yeah.
We had profitability. We had positive cash flow. We had a great team. Many of the people who at Stratacom are still there at Cisco. Many of the people who worked for me have got important positions at Cisco. So it was, and everybody who participated in Stratacom, whether it was an employee or a stockholder, at any point in time, if they got out a year later or 2 years later, they did well in their career, and they also did well financially. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So how much did you own, Sanjay?
I had about a percent as a CFO.
Yeah.
And, so that's... Yeah. Although I had probably sold, as a public company, since 92, I had sold portions of it along the way.
Yeah.
As you would normally do that.
Yeah.
You know?
And you repeated this, and you went on to do another startup where also you did phenomenally well.
Yeah, I stayed at Cisco for a year, and then I left, and I said I wanted to do it again just to prove to myself that this was something that I could do, and I wanted to do it in a completely different industry. I used to get calls from people in networking because that's what Stratacom was, and I said I want to do. I thought the next big thing would be optical, so I decided to do something completely different. Ended up joining a company called E-Tech Dynamics as a COO. Took that public in '98, and then we merged with JDS Uniphase in 2000 at the height of the bubble.
And how much did you sell that for?
The day we announced in January 2000, it was 19 billion. The day we closed in June 2000, it was 17.6 billion or something like that.
$20 billion with a B.
Yeah.
That's more than half of what Yahoo is worth today, right?
Yeah. So again, that was the bubble. So.
Sure. Yeah.
We lived the bubble.
People made money in the gold rush, right?
Yes.
So fantastic. Fantastic. And so Stratacom 2, going on to doing...
E-Tech and Stratacom, E-Tech, the two, yeah.
Yes. What a fantastic story. And at this point, you're still enjoying doing startups, aren't you?
Yes, so, I do. I love working with entrepreneurs. I love the whole idea of using innovation. I think there are some strong forces that provide social good. Education is one of them. Philanthropy or patronage is one of them. In the old days, the kings and queens would fund artists and artisans and musicians to do carvings and paintings and
yes.
write literature, and that, you know, so those two powerful forces for social good. I think technology is the third most powerful force for social good. As you can see, things like cellular phones and laptops and cameras and broadband and internet, it just opens up so many possibilities for so many people. It creates more and more opportunity for everybody. And so I feel like being involved in technology and helping make technology. Commercializing them and making it affordable is a great, great thing.
No, I think that's fantastic. We're going to take a break here and come back and start and keep talking with you because there's a lot more to talk about, and I'm going to pick up the pace when we come back and talk a little bit more about venture capital, Sanjay Subedar, and his story on how he got here.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email? Or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Stop! Do not copy, paste, and go through all the extra effort to show them what's relevant. Why not highlight the webpage before you send it or share it? Just type ruhit.com before any web URL. For example, ruhit.com/google.com. And your mouse cursor instantly changes to a highlighter pen. Just select any text you see and it instantly gets highlighted in color. And what's more, it even gets a tiny URL that will take any visitor directly to the highlights of the page. It neither requires anyone to register nor to install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast. No fine print and totally hassle-free. Try it out. ROOHIT.com. Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek. And it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved for you. And the underlying pages are saved too. Really. And don't worry. At Ruhit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or to register for our service. And certainly, we don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Jo bhi chaho, wo main paau. Zindagi mein jeete jaao. Tare tode lao sari duniya par main chahu bas itna sa khwab hai.
Sabne salamat, welcome back dosto. We are talking today with Sanjay Subedar, founder of Storm Ventures, a venture capital fund with $500 million under management. We are talking about the use of technology to further mankind, and what a noble idea. And what a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, if you go to India nowadays, you see the sabjiwala, the rickshawala, everybody has a phone and they can communicate. They have TVs, they have digital cameras. And so all of these things have become very affordable through all the innovations that most of them that started here in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, yeah. No, I completely agree with you. So in fact, I come back to how did you get into venture capital? I know we talked about the story. So you started out, if I remember correctly, with like a $7 million fund, which was your fund number one. And
yes.
That was your own money and your friend's money that you sort of pooled together and started investing.
Right.
And actually, that's about the time when I first met you. I think this is the first time I met you was back in 98, I think, when I was doing my first startup. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman called Deepak Natarajan.
Right.
And I shared my story with him. And he said, you should go talk to Sanjay.
Yeah.
And I came and talked to you and was pitching to you. And...
And Deepak is still works at Intel Capital in Singapore. I still keep in touch with him. And
Deepak is a fantastic guy. In fact, before he went to Intel Capital, he was working at Redwood Ventures as a general partner.
Right.
And that's actually when Raj from Redwood had invested in Ecord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of how that whole thing came out, because I was trying to get Deepak to come in and take over my company. And I said, Deepak, you're a fantastic guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to step aside.
Yeah.
You take over. And he didn't want to do that. And next thing you knew, he got into venture. So,
yeah.
And he's now in Singapore, right?
Yeah, he's in Singapore, right.
So it's really interesting how small valley, but these connections sort of keep coming back and you keep connecting with sort of the same people.
It is, yeah. The world is very small. Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, back to venture capital. So you did that and then you did venture, your second fund, which was what, a $200, $300 million fund?
The second one was a 2000. We started off with a $200 million target. We ended up raising $300.
Wow.
And then we found that took too long to invest. So in 2005, we cut that down and we raised $200 million in 2005.
Okay. So... What is your focus? What are you investing in? And can we open the lines up to callers at this point?
Sure.
Okay. So phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-5565. If you have a question, please feel free to call in. We are continuing to talk with Sanjay Subedar about what is the focus that Storm Ventures invests in? What stage? What sectors?
So we are at an early stage. We do in IT, all software systems and even components like semiconductors. We don't do clean tech, we don't do life sciences, we don't do biotech.
Okay. Reason why you don't do life sciences, biosciences?
Only because I don't understand it, and I wish I did, because as we get older, I've recognized the importance of the contributions that segment of the market is making to make our quality of life and even quantity of life better. But unfortunately, it's a very complex field, and I can't I can't keep up with it. And clean tech is a very intense, capital intensive. There are two parts: energy generation and energy conservation. So things that do conserve energy, we will invest in because they tend to be software or chips or solutions. Yeah. But energy generation are very exotic technologies like solar and wind and algae and waves, and they are mostly science, more science than they are commercialized products, and require lots of capital and high risk.
Yeah.
And we are a small fund, so we focus on.
Yeah. I guess as venture capital goes, $250 or $500 million is a small fund.
These funds, I mean, they require, some of these require like $500 million in one deal, like a Solyndra or a SunPower.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be multi-billion-dollar fund.
Absolutely, No, if you start talking to companies like that, it's just ungodly amounts of capital intensive.
Right.
So what kinds of, what do you look for when you're looking to fund a company? What are the things you're looking at?
The most important thing is the entrepreneur. You know, does the entrepreneur have domain experience? Have they done whatever the area they're getting into? Do they know that area well? Do they know the ecosystem, the competitors, the products, the solutions that are being offered? What are the problems with the solutions? Do they know the customer set? So domain experience is very important. The entrepreneur's track record, what they have done, is important. And then, philosophy. I mean, why are they doing this? And do you have a chemistry and a fit with the entrepreneur? That's very important.
So what you said is somewhat unique from what I hear from other VCs when I have these conversations with them. And I'll point out the subtle difference that I noticed was you talked about the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Typical VC that I talk to talks about the team and the people, whereas you're focusing on one guy. Is that conscious, subconscious?
Usually it's, when I say entrepreneur, it's usually the one guy or one or two guys who have the passion, the commitment, the stubbornness to change something. And that really is the spark that energizes everybody else.
Yes.
Around the entrepreneur, then you need managers, people like me, who I can invent anything, but I can help scale things that somebody else has invented. But the entrepreneur is really the first spark that is most important. You know.
Yeah, okay. All right, folks, if you have questions, the phone number to studio is 408-912-5565. We are talking with Sanjay Subedar, venture capitalist, founder of Storm Ventures, and we are talking about what are the kinds of things you look at to fund a company. So the entrepreneur is sounds like is criteria number one. Have you funded companies that have been single founder?
Yes.
Single founder?
Yes.
Okay.
Single founder and just an idea and nothing. Sometimes we spend 6 months with that, flushing out the idea.
Yeah.
And we give them an office and we give them all the resources that we can, introductions to customers, prospects and customers to fine-tune their idea. Yeah.
And how did that play out? And how many such instances of single? Because typically I see it's at least a two-person team that gets funded.
That is true. I mean, usually it's one or two people. Let's see. I mean, one of the people that I funded a couple of years ago was a gentleman that called Arun Johri, who was the founder of a company called Sage, which was sold to Genesis. And he had a chip background, semiconductor chip background. And we were, we kept talking to each other about things that he would like to work on next. And one of the things we thought, this was 5 years ago, was mobile TV would be important. So getting a signal on your telephone so you could watch television. So he got another friend of his from IIT, Sanjay Kohli, who was the founder of Surf, and they got together and we sat down and we talked about it and we funded them, you know, and we ended up selling the company to a portal player 3 years later, you know.
Good acquisition?
It was a small acquisition, but it was a good return, a positive return for everybody. What had happened is mobile TV, the standard DTV standard that we were trying to ride on, did not become broadly adopted in Europe, and so that was going to slow down the market evolution. And so we thought that finding a partner would help. So that's what we did. So it was an early exit rather than a long term.
Yeah, yeah. It's 3 years early.
Yeah. 3 years, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in the high tech. So do you guys also invest in consumer internet?
Yeah, we just did the last deal we did. One of the is a company called Book Renter. And so it's very consumerish because all it does is allow university students, instead of buying $100, $200 textbooks, to rent them for a semester and pay $30, $40 for that rental. So it's a pure consumer kind of play. You know?
Yes, yes, very much so. And there's already an 800-pound gorilla in that space.
Check, yeah.
Yes, I didn't want to name the competition. But how does your portfolio company compete with that?
So Book Renter is getting a lot of publicity because Chegg raised money at a $600 million valuation or something like that.
It's outrageous.
And their business plan is slightly different, that they have inventory, Chegg does.
Yeah.
Book Renter does not keep any inventory. They're partnering with the publishers like Follet, the book publishers, and give some of the revenue stream to the publisher back so that they reduce the need for inventory. So it's a slightly different model, more capital efficient.
Interesting.
But we'll see how it plays out in the marketplace.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and keep talking with Sanjay Subedar, who's a venture capitalist with Storm Ventures that he started. That's an interesting story. I have to come back and talk about that too. But in the meantime, if you have questions, 408-912-5565.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email? Or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Stop! Do not copy, paste, and go through all the extra effort to show them what's relevant. Why not highlight the web page before you send it or share it? Just type ruhit.com. before any web URL, for example, ruhit.com/google.com, and your mouse cursor instantly changes to a highlighter pen. Just select any text you see, and it instantly gets highlighted in color. And what's more, it even gets a tiny URL that will take any visitor directly to the highlights on the page. It neither requires anyone to register nor to install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast, no fine print, and totally hassle-free. Try it out, ROOHIT.com. Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek. And it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved for you. And the underlying pages are saved too. Really. And don't worry. At Rohit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or to register for our service. And certainly, we don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. I want to talk to Mr. Sanjay Subedar. My name is Nizam.
Nizam, Sanjay Salamat, my friend, you are live on the air. Sanjay is listening in, waiting for your question.
Okay, my question is, it's very exciting to hear his story. I mean, he did a great job. It motivates a lot of people hearing these kind of stories. The question I have, I have a lot of experience in working in the digital industry. I have some idea as well, but I never could hook up with somebody who can listen to and show interest, that kind of thing. So what is the best way to hook up with the people who want to invest and want to, you know, listen what idea we have? I think that's a big one of the big steps.
I think to answer your question, the best way to sort of do that is get an advisor who can validate what you're doing and then actually take you on to somebody where he says that, okay, this thing has merit. So that's the best way to sort of get screened out. What do you think, Sanjay?
Yeah, I think if you can connect through somebody, that's usually good. But if not, I think just sending an email directly to the individual who might know that industry that you're interested in works also, although people get inundated with email and sometimes things get caught in the spam folder. So you might have to do a follow-up call or, but if you do not, that would be if you do not know somebody who knows somebody. So if you know somebody
who
knows
I do not know anybody. The initial thing is I think that I should get in touch with somebody who knows or who can advise me. So is there any way I can get in touch with somebody who you know?
Okay, just as a special to you as a listener of Rohit, I'll give you my email, sanjay@stormventures.com. Send me an email. Although I'll tell you, we invested in a company called Sandforce that does a disk drive that does a controller chip that allows us to use flash to store. So our view is that over the next 5 years, rotating media will get eliminated as storage for laptops and servers and computers in the enterprise because of this controller chip and using cheap MLC flash.
Okay, so what is the email address again?
sanjay@stormventures.com.
Okay.
That's very kind of you, Sanjay. Certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Nizam.
Thank you.
408-912-5565. We are talking with the founder of Storm Ventures, and Sanjay's kind enough to actually listen to stories from listeners of Sapne Salamat. So folks, if you have questions, if you have a startup, this is the time to call 408-912-5565. Okay, so coming back, Sanjay. Consumer web. So we're talking about Book Renter has a different end. Chegg raised money at a $600 million valuation. Is there that much revenue out there for this company? Or is this part of the craziness that we saw with, what was it, Slide and Rock you and what have you?
I think that's I agree with you, but I could be wrong. I mean, I don't see how you could justify a $600 million and then raising $150 million valuation for Chegg, or for that matter, the valuations at Rock you and but then Facebook, which was trying to raise money, I remember at $100 million valuation. We looked at it, we didn't understand it, and now it's
kicking yourselves, huh?
Yeah, it's like 17 or 19 billion in private transactions.
Yeah, interesting. All right, we're going to take this call live on air. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, good morning. My name is Kamesh, and I have a couple of questions on the starting a new website. Is your forum will help me out on that?
Kamesh, first of all, Sapna Salamat. Second of all, can you please turn your radio off?
Sure, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Go ahead. What is your question?
Yeah, basically, I have something in my mind, and I would like to create a new website. So, do you have any solution on that, how to launch it and how to do that?
I don't think we have a solution on that. We're hoping that you will have a solution to the problem that you're solving, Kamesh. I'm being a little facetious here, so please bear with me. I think what I'm trying to...
I think he's trying to find somebody who can help him do the website. So one...
I think what he's looking for is an advisor again.
No, it's not like that. Basically, okay. I have the technical content with me, but I'm just looking at the way to register and how much do I pay for or pay to do that. So this kind of information I'm looking for. What content I am with me, technical content, and what is the relevance, all these things I have.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for is really how to register it and how much the fee would be if it is chargeable, like that.
I would suggest use a search engine called Yahoo or use a search engine called Google, and more recently a search engine called Bing. But having said that, you can always go to places like GoDaddy and register.com and do any of that stuff. So this is pretty trivial stuff. You should be able to do it right away. So thank you for calling. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, hi. Sapna Salamat.
Yeah, good morning. This is Kamakshi. Can I talk to Mr. Sanjay, please?
Kamakshi, Sapna Salamat. Sanjay is live on the air waiting.
Yes, I'm right here.
Yeah, hi. I was listening to your, the recommends, from your perspective. Like you said, the passion, and then the important thing is, if somebody entrepreneur wants to work on something, you should have the background work, actually, what he's thinking also, right? I mean, what is currently planning to do it also.
Yeah, know the domain extremely well, yes.
Right. So is it mandatory? For example, in my case, right, I have a very good background on networking, but, I just wanted to do something on which really, made me so interested, and it's market-driven, and there are a lot of potential. So I pretty much did a lot of, domain work point of, in the sense, collected the information and really put nice business plans and stuff. But I'm just still wondering, would it be a negative point that my real experience also should be in the same thing?
Ideally, that would be the ideal situation, although there are examples of people who come from one industry and make changes and have ideas in a completely different industry and are successful. But those are rare because every industry, every market has its own peculiarities, and the living in that market and competing in that market and delivering products in that market gives you the DNA that allows you to find out what solutions work, what doesn't work, how do people buy products or services in that market. So having that domain knowledge is very critical in my mind,
Okay, so in that case, for example, is there any way I can prove that, in the sense, for example, when I approach a VC or something, right, somebody, actually, I really put a lot of effort on it, and then I really have a quite good, market recommends and how the market is going on and stuff like that. But though I didn't have, my last 10 or 15 years experience on that market, but I really, spent on time and really, collected the, feedbacks and surveys and stuff like that.
Well, what I would suggest is...
I'm just wondering, would it be really, is there anything else I can do?
Yeah, Kamesh, suggestion I would have is that whatever market you're going after, find somebody who is in that market and then run your idea by him or her, and then... see if that resonates with that person.
Yeah. Okay. And is there generally any kind of advisor or suggestions are available to catch the right person in the market? Because that's one of the hurdles I'm facing.
I think what you have to do is call into shows like this, and hopefully somebody will reach out to you, or you can send us an email to radio@ruhit.com, and we'll see if we can connect you up with somebody that works in the same domain as you do. That's radio@ruhit.com. All right?
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sanjay. This is Jeff. Great show.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Sanjay. We have a healthcare-based portal application which we have developed, and the product is ready. We have already acquired about 100 customers, looking good so far. And we are looking forward to a VC round, maybe by July, August timeframe. I was wondering, you have any, you know, advice for us?
You have 100 customers, you said. What kind of customers? Are these consumer customers, or are they business customers? Is it a B2C or a B2C?
No, these are business customers. This is a healthcare-based web portal application. So we have a small to medium business and a few large-scale customers already pitching in with us. And so far, service looks good, and the user base is slowly increasing. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go to the next level of expanding it to a nationwide operation with a strong sales team and also some global expansions. So that's the reason we would be looking forward to a VC round by July timeframe. We have already raised angel funding, and you know, so far looking good. And we have also started raising revenue.
Well, that's good. I think use your the angels should to help you make introductions to VCs who invest in no healthcare, and I mean that would be the first step, and then start getting feedback from them as to what they like about the plan or what they don't like about the plan, and you know, the process of fundraising and meeting with VCs can be very informative and educational, and you can learn a lot from that and improve your strategy and your tactics.
All right.
Okay.
And if you have, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say that if you have more questions, feel free to send an email to radio@ruhit.com. We'd be happy to take a look at it, and we'll see if we can connect you up with somebody that can help you.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for calling. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air caller.
Hi, Sapna Salamat. My name is Naresh. I work in basically in the field of like semiconductor sensors. I make a lot of sensors, and well, most of the ideas come because people encounter some problems. So, but people like me, I can provide solutions to problems, but I do not have. I cannot see what all the problems are out there. So it's not totally true that you should always come up with a great idea. But if you have a solution to a great problem which is out there, that will also make you grow big. So can there be a forum or something where you can have people discuss all the ongoing problems which everybody faces in day-to-day life or in their careers or in their, you know, on the companies?
Yeah, there are several organizations. The TIE is one of them, the Indus Entrepreneur, where you get a chance to network with other people who have ideas. There is SIPA, Indian Professional Organization, that meets fairly regularly. So there are several forums where you can, and then again, in your whatever industry you're in, there usually are standards bodies, IEEE, and others like that, that people meet regularly and discuss problems and solutions, you know.
So there's a lot of special interest groups, and also there's shows like this where we are trying to help people get further along with entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapna Salamat, Rohit. This is Satyajit.
Yes, Satyajit, you have a question for us?
Yeah, so I have actually two questions for Sanjay. Number one is, can he give a, unless it is too confidential information, can he give a little rundown on the companies that their fund has funded? And second question is, any of these ventures are in mobile space? And then what do they look for in mobile space when they fund?
Satyajit, this is Sanjay. Go to www.stormventures.com and you'll see our portfolio, and you can see all the companies that we have funded. Yes, we do mobile. We have a mobile coupon company called Cellfire that does mobile coupons. We have a company called Mobile Iron that does a enterprise solution for mobile. In the past, we have done a company called AdInfuse, which is mobile advertising. We've done Mobio. So we have done a lot in the mobile space. Yeah.
And can you give us an idea about the size of the funding? And is it like A round, or is it in the angel investment? Or
we are early stage investors, so we are doing A rounds.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for your call, Satyajit. We are talking today with Sanjay Subedar, who is the founder of Storm Ventures. We're talking about venture capital and we're talking about Sanjay's story. The phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. If you have questions, comments about venture capital, please feel free to call in. 408-912-5565. Sanjay, I had a quick question. A lot of VCs in the recent times have started doing seed rounds. Do you guys do seed rounds?
Yeah.
So like you'll invest 150K?
Yeah.
And is that on a note? Is that a...
It's on a convertible note. Yeah. And we basically say that at some point, because it's... In a seed round, there is not really clear what the value is. So
right.
We just say we'll give you a note. And then when an A round gets done, it has to be done by somebody other than us. And then whatever round...
Really? So you will not do an A round on something that you've done a seed on?
Well, we have done it in the past.
But you don't want to?
Because we want an independent validation. Because usually... what happens is when you get too close to something, you lose the objectivity. So if you're funding something because we like the idea and we say we'll put 250 or 500 into it and we spend a lot of time, we ideally like to see somebody else come in and lead the round.
Okay, but you will still co-invest in the A?
Yes, absolutely.
But I think it's a huge...
No. We definitely co-invest in the A.
Okay.
But we like to syndicate it.
Okay. You know? How often do you guys do seeds?
I would say about a third of the time we do seeds, and usually it's a combination of either somebody who's a repeat entrepreneur that is coming back to us that we know, and we say, okay, we'll fund you, or it's an EIR that has worked with us for 3 or 6 months, and so that's how it just can be somebody coming off the street and saying, give me a seed round. We have to know that person and feel comfortable with that the idea is good.
Okay, so rapid fire round. How many seeds have you done to date as a fund?
I would say at least 15.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys do board participation at the seed level?
If it's a seed, then it's usually a note. We keep it very low key, so we don't want to spend a lot of money in legal fees and all of that.
Exactly.
So yes, but we are very actively involved through the whole process of taking it from a seed is writing the helping write the business plan, helping validate the product idea or the service idea. Setting up meetings. I mean, we did Mobile Iron was a seed, Airspace was a seed. We put it all together ourselves, and then we recruited the team, and then we introduced the team and the idea to Fidelity and Microsoft and Duke University and validated the idea. And then we said, okay, we went out, in the case of Mobile Iron, we went out to only two VCs, Sequoia and Norvest, and both wanted to invest. And because we liked the idea so much, we said we didn't want anybody else. If we took only one of them, the other guy would want to do that. So we ended up saying, we'll take both. And we did a combined A, B round with Sequoia, Norvest, and Storm.
Fascinating.
And it started off with a $500,000 seed from us that converted at 50% discount.
Okay. I'm running out of time here, but we'll take a couple of more calls if you have some good quality calls, 408-912-5565. Otherwise, I want to get into rapid fire mode and figure out, okay, so 500. How many rounds? You said about 15 seeds done. How many of these seeds went from seed to A?
I would say almost, except for one or two, they all went to A. All got fun, you know.
All got funded from seed to A. Okay, excellent. And what is the average size of the seed?
250 to 500. Average is about 300, I would say.
Okay. Well, what's the time to get a seed funded from a known entity? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but this is my rapid fire. I want a quick answer.
It's a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. Yeah. How many people have to buy in?
You have to have a sponsor, which is one of the five managing directors, and then the team has to... there is no such thing as a veto. So as long as there's a consensus...
For the seed.
For a seed.
Yes.
And so as long as people say, you know, yeah, that sounds like a reasonable idea, or then, yeah, it gets done.
Okay. Sapna Salamat, quick question, live on air.
Yeah, hello. My name is Tushar Kotalkar.
Hi, Tushar.
Hello. Hi. I was listening to this program, and it's a pretty interesting program. So I have a different kind of a question. So a person like me, I have almost 14 years of high-tech experience working through bigger and smaller companies.
Quick question, Tushar. We're running out of time here. Quick question.
Yeah. So basically, I've recently finished my MBA from the Duke University and looking forward to move into the venture capital community. So is there any place I can get some information or guidance on that, basically?
There is an organization called NVCA, which is National Venture Capital Association, and there are PE jobs out there. So I think those are resources available. But hopefully your Duke University career planning center can tell you who, what the job opportunities are in private equity in general and venture capital in particular.
Okay, so NVCA.org, that's the
yes, the National Venture Capital Association. So.
Okay, thank you so much. It's
great.
Really interesting.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so folks, first of all, I think if you guys are enjoying the show, I want to give a quick shout out and thanks to all of our sponsors. Vinu Prashar from Prashar CPA has been a fantastic sponsor. I think it's tax time. And if you guys are enjoying this show, the least you can do is go give them some business so we can continue to get sponsored and we can continue to bring this show on the airwaves. I hope you're enjoying the show. Secondly, if you're enjoying the show, go out and please check out our website and give us some public testimonials that we can use to get more sponsors. URL to the website is rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. Finally, we are looking for volunteers, folks. And I think, as we mentioned earlier, the singular mission of this show is to promote entrepreneurship. We all sort of have our own businesses that we are running. We are all building our own companies and we'd love to help out. So if there's other folks that have some time to spare and can volunteer that time, we'd certainly appreciate that. Also, additionally, folks look for domain expertise. So if you are a domain expert, please feel free to get in touch with us and we will connect you up with some other startup companies that are looking for domain experts. Anyways, we've talked today with Sanjay Subedar. Sanjay, thank you so much for coming on the show. Some closing comments, remarks?
No, thank you, Rohit. It's wonderful to be here and share whatever information I can to help your audience.
I certainly appreciate that. And I guess my listeners can reach you at Sanjay at stormventures.com, which is very, very kind of you to be able to take some of my listeners on the show. So, great. Okay, folks, please keep dreaming. Keep your dreams intact. And we are going to be right back. Sapne Salamat.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting a tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email? Or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Stop! Do not copy, paste, and go through all the extra effort to show them what's relevant. Why not highlight the web page before you send it or share it? Just type rohit.com before any web URL. For example, rohit.com/google.com. And your mouse cursor instantly changes to a highlighter pen. Just select any text you see, and it instantly gets highlighted in color. And what's more, it even gets a tiny URL that will take any visitor directly to the highlights of the page. It neither requires anyone to register nor to install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast. No fine print and totally hassle-free. Try it out. rohit.com.